Phone calls are coming. Lines are open. Not too many, so get in at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Give us a call. Talk to Igor Henriquez. If he deems you worthy, you get to talk to me. Lots of stuff going on as the Blue Jays put up back-to-back wins against the worst team in baseball and get 27 hits over the last two games as well. We heard from Alex Anthopoulos before the game, talked about it, and we'll talk about it again. And that's another some more fodder for our Blue Jays talk on trade injury updates. Not so much a payroll update because Alex wouldn't say anything, but there was a lot in what he didn't say. Wouldn't be fair to go to a caller right now. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If not, get on hold. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. We let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will Blue Jays talk it up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and sportsnet590.ca, all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern. It's the Honda postgame on the Sportsnet Radio Network. A little drama here at Rogers Center as the Blue Jays take down the Texas Rangers 9-6. Looked like they were in cruise control going into a wacky sixth inning, but Texas gets three to tie it up. And then Melky Cabrera leads off the bottom of the seventh with his 12th home run of the season. The Jays add three big insurance runs in the eighth to secure the win. Aaron Loop closes it out by popping up J.P. Arencibia, who was the tying run in the ninth inning. I'm Mike Wilner, and just a reminder that the Blue Jays talk will be upon us on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet590.ca. Just not enough time to take any calls right now. Right now, though, the Yankees and Reds are tied 2-2 as they go to the bottom of the ninth. Red Sox lead the Royals 6-0 in the top of the ninth. It's the Rays 5 and the Twins 2 in the bottom of the sixth, and Oakland leads Baltimore 2-0 in the second. The Boston Red Sox are coming to town. First of a four-game series. It begins tomorrow. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern. Drew Hutchison against John Lackey. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership of the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, and Igor Henriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Rogers Center.
Melky hits one deep to right center field. Got a chance to go. Back goes Robertson at the wall. He jumps, and there she goes. The Blue Jays 6, the Rangers 5 on Melky's 12th here in the bottom of the 7th.
And there it was. That's the big swing. Melky Cabrera breaks the 5-5 tie, gives the Blue Jays the lead. They tack on three more in the eighth and wind up with a 9-6 win over the Texas Rangers. A series victory for the Jays, 2 out of 3. They're 51-48 right now. They were faced with a loss yesterday that would have dropped them back down to 500. Now they have a chance to be within 3 games of first place. Again, the Baltimore Orioles currently trailing the Oakland Athletics 2-0 as they play in the second inning in the rubber match of their series. Baltimore with that tough West Coast swing that they're on right now. The Yankees, who are tied with the Blue Jays, or at least were, are in a 2-2 tie with the Cincinnati Reds in the bottom of the ninth inning right now. If the Reds can win that game, the Jays will have second place all to themselves right now in the American League East. This is Blue Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls right up to 5 o'clock. We spoke to Alex Anthopoulos before the game. He says nothing is imminent right now on the trade front. The Blue Jays certainly do have the ability to add players. He would not say whether or not the Blue Jays have the ability to add payroll, and the avoidance of the question is an answer in and of itself. We begin with Andrew in London. You're going to be the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk today. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for bringing back sanity to the people. Listen, these people have called in the last two nights making the big deal for Price and all these big-time pitchers. Okay? Does Price hit the ball? He doesn't hit the ball. They got nobody in the regular lineup but 4 guys. So what's Price going to do, add to the Jays' pitching woos now? And As far as money goes with the Jays, Paul Beeston has never been told no ever. He'll get the money if they need the money, believe me. And I've been around long enough to know that. Mr. Beeston will get whatever it needs for them to make the big deal. And I just wish the people would just lighten up. They're three games out now. They've won 2 out of 3 from Texas. Now they win 3 out of 4 from Boston next week. They're tied for first if Baltimore goes in the toilet there for a couple days. And everybody's back on the bandwagon. But just take it easy like you always tell the people, Michael. Take it easy.
Well, I do always tell the people to take it easy and to enjoy what's in front of them. But, I mean, when you know, you are dealing with a Blue Jays team that's basically lost 2/3 of its games since the first week of June. So there's reason to be frustrated and upset. And I have to tell you, I would welcome the addition of a David Price. You're right in that he doesn't swing the bat, and the offense is certainly what's been the problem over the last 6 weeks. But the you know, being able to add a guy like that, he can pitch for at the top of anybody's rotation in the major leagues. And
oh,
if
sure
the Blue Jays could
but
do
I'm
them.
Saying, time will come. Just be patient. We're like, there's still 70 games, 65 games left.
63.
And in my day, I've seen teams being 12 games out in September and win the division.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. Philadelphia in 64.
They were 12 games out in September.
Look it up, buddy.
I will.
You look it up and let me know. And you do a great job, Michael, and we will talk to you later.
You bet. All right. Thank you so much for the call. I will look that up. I remember a huge Philadelphia Phillies comeback. I have my doubts that it was 12 games back in September. But you know what? I'm going to check it because I have the resource of this thing called the Internet. And no, the Philadelphia Phillies in the 1960s never made the playoffs. If you're talking about the Whiz Kids, the 1950 Philadelphia Phillies, let's see, on September 1st, they were 7 games up. So I think you're talking about the Phillies in 64 blowing that lead. Let me see that one. We're going to get to John Gibbons in a second, but this question must be answered right now. It's the 64 Phillies that blew the lead. You're right. So let's see where they were on September 1st. They wound up losing the division and by 1 game. They had a 5.5 game lead on September 1st and blew it. The biggest September comeback, I think, was the 9.5 games back that the Tampa Bay Rays were a couple of years ago when the Boston Red Sox completely choked on that lead of theirs, and that resulted in Terry Francona losing his job. So no 12 gamers. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We continue to Blue Jays talk it up, but first, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of this afternoon's 9-6 win over the Texas Rangers.
John, you've been asked about the offense, it seems like forever now, for you guys to put up 14 hits and have 9 singles, a couple of home runs, some doubles. Is that exactly what you were hoping to see, just a little bit of everything?
Yeah, that was big. Yeah, we came to life today, so that's what you need to talk about on your show, see? But, I mean, it was a good ball game. Last couple games, you know, I felt a little, you know, a little more energy in the dugout too. The guys seemed a little more relaxed. You know, some funny comments. So, you know, they've been grinding it pretty hard lately, and it's been wearing on them. So, I noticed that early in the game. But it was one of those games, where we left a few guys on third base 2 or 3 times, I believe. And we still had a lead, but you know what? I mean, that's, you got to take advantage of those. You're not going to get it done all the time, but you take advantage of that, and maybe it's not as close. So, but back-to-back pretty good ball games.
Gibby, what'd you see out of Casey, and why'd you take him out at that point in time?
I mean, he hadn't pitched in 8, 9, 10 days, whatever it is. And, you know, he's been sick, and you know, I just didn't see that crispness coming out there. Gave up a couple hits. It's a non-save situation. You know. Yeah, you know, I just do what's best for the team. You know, we're trying to win a game. You know, I play no favorites. And I'm a big Luke fan.
A big game from Melky today. What did you see from him, and how much different is he this year than what you saw in 2013?
Well, I just think the All-Star break did him wonders. You know, I mean, he's out there every day. I mean, it did most guys. some good. And he just needed to refresh that a little bit. You know, you're looking, you know, his hand speed, bat speed looks a little bit better. And, you know, that's the key to hitting, you know, if you got a good swing thing. I mean, that, you know, that can, when you're at it every day, you know, your whole body gets tired, and that's, and hands still slow down a little bit. You know, that makes it awful tougher to hit, you know, so. But, I mean, he's, you know, he had his issues last year with his back, but other than that, he's the same player he's been for the last 4 or 5 years probably.
Give you the first couple of months, Burley couldn't lose, and now we can't buy a win. What'd you see out of him today?
Well, he was a little off, too, you know, and part of that, too. I mean, he hadn't pitched in a while, which had been 8-9 days for him, maybe. I mean, he's a command guy. So, I mean, he was, you know, you don't see him. I mean, he was missing up in the, well, I don't know how many guys he walked, 3 or 4. And he doesn't normally do that, but even some of his early counts on a few guys, I mean, he was falling behind, leaving it up. But he'll be fine. You know, it's too bad. You know, I mean, he hasn't had a win in so long, because he's definitely pitched well enough to have a few more under his belt. You know, but that's the way baseball is sometimes. You know, there's no justice in this business.
You ever seen a trip balk for a run before?
Yeah, somewhere. I couldn't tell you when, but yeah, it's one of those things. I'm sure he wanted to throw it, but you throw it and you goose it in there, and next thing you know, the guy hits it out of here. You know, so. Yeah, it'll make the bloopers. But I've seen it somewhere.
There's John Gibbons on the victory, 9-6. And as he said, Blue Jays woke up. I'm trying to remember exactly what he said at the beginning of it. We came to life today is what John Gibbons said. And the Blue Jays scoring 9 runs on 15 hits. And hopefully the offense is clicking as the Boston Red Sox come to town for 4 games. It seems as though the Blue Jays are going to be tied still for second place in the AL East. The Yankees have the winning run on third. They had it with nobody out, but our oldest Chapman just struck out Mark Teixeira. So 1 out in the winning run at third in the bottom of the ninth. The Yankees and Reds are tied 2-2. The Orioles trailing Oakland 2-0. In the bottom of the second inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones to take your calls. John in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. You know, to your point about just getting a couple guys involved in the offense and then maybe what Gibbons was referring to there, like to see Kawasaki hitting out of the two-hole well means so much, because you got Melky in the three-hole who hit Tepesh well, and I think he was the only guy that had a good could hit Tepesh well. And then you could move Batista down the four hole. Like on Friday, we had Navarro hitting out of the four hole, and I was at the game and I was looking at the lineup and I said, "Holy cow, what has happened?"
Well, what's happened is the middle of the order's on the disabled list. That's a problem.
No, absolutely, for sure. And then Rasmus is starting to hit better, and Dan Johnson is taking pitches. I mean, this guy's got 6 walks in 6 games. And Ghost got a couple of hits today. So I think to your point about getting the offense going a little bit, getting everybody, like some of the regulars, some of the guys who need these hits, to see them get a few is great.
And the thing is, too, I mean, you mentioned Kawasaki, right? And it's not so much... Right, it's not so much that Kawasaki's hitting second, it's that he's hitting capably, and he's earned that spot, right? Yeah. He's performing, that they actually have a guy who they can slot in to lengthen the lineup a little bit and allow Bautista and Cabrera to hit in those positions of power. You have an extra guy like Munenori over his last 10 games is hitting .375.
And what is our record with him in the lineup? I know it's got to be pretty good. I understand why they send him down when they do. But our record with him on the roster is got to be pretty.
It's 12-17.
In the lineup.
12-17.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Maybe I guess it's just his effervescent personality that just makes it.
That's what people love about him, but you know what? And now that he's performing, it's huge, because my contention has always been that even without Lindon, Encarnacion, and Laurie, this isn't a team that you should expect to score only 1 or 2 runs a game. So they're starting to get things going right now. Well, it's no longer a strength. They're starting, you know, with these guys on the disabled list.
It's intended to be.
Right. It should be. And when they're healthy, it will be. But when they're not healthy, it's not as bad as they were on that road trip. They're capable of scoring some runs.
So Gibby took Jansen out for Loop, do you think, and then said in the interview after that it was, I don't know if he had tongue-in-cheek, but he's a big fan of Loop, and Jansen didn't have his stuff. And then on the television, Buck and Tabby said it was because they need him for the Boston series. I wonder if it's probably a combination of both. But
no, it's because Jansen wasn't pitching well. He lost 8 pounds in the last 2 days or something with that virus, so he wasn't feeling well. He clearly wasn't himself. Aaron Loop was the better guy at that point in time to face Shin-Soo Chu or J.P. Arencibia. So I don't have a problem with that. And like Gibby said, he doesn't play favorites. Wasn't a save situation. And I think had it been a save situation, we might have seen – it wasn't a save situation for Jansen, I mean. We might have seen him come in to stay in to complete it. But that was the right move, and it worked out. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Randy is in Moncton, New Brunswick, listening on CKNI 91.9. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Randy.
Hello.
Hello.
Joe had made a comment. I don't think, by the way, it was great to get 9 runs and 14 hits today. We've been waiting for that for a little while.
Yeah, swell, wasn't it?
Kind of nice. It was like, wow, it finally we broke out a little bit. But Joe had mentioned, the Casey Jansen thing's a little different because he's sick, but Joe had mentioned at the end of the game that oftentimes when relievers come in non-save situations, they're rustier or they're not as sharp. Have you noticed that? Like, when you watch games, is there an edge?
It does seem that way. I wonder if it's confirmation bias or not, but you know, you remember it even as far back as guys like Tom Henke and Dwayne Ward. When they were in non-save situations, they didn't seem to be as sharp. I don't think that was the case today. I don't think that's why it was the case with Casey Jansen today. I think because he's been sick and weak, he wasn't himself. But, yeah, that does seem like that happens a lot.
Yeah. Also, that was a pretty good interview with I thought it was quite revealing yesterday when JP admitted that while he struggled last year, he was even embarrassed to go out into. I mean, I imagine it is a skill that a player has to require to block out the noise when you're not playing well, not worry about you have no control over public opinion or media reporting or anything else. You just go play. But I imagine it is a challenge for some players to do that.
It's a challenge for every player to do it, and a lot of some are better at it than others. JP was not very good at it last year, and like he said, he let it get to him. But I thought, yeah, the same thing out of those comments from him. I think that, you know, especially engaging with the fans the way I do after every game last year, I think there were a lot of people who thought that JP was just up there swinging from his heels every time. He didn't care whether he struck out or not, and all he wanted to do was he thought he could hit a home run in every at-bat, and he was fine with the way things were going, and obviously that wasn't the case.
Well, there you go. Milwaukee's blown quite a lead to St. Louis in the National League Central. That's
yeah,
quite
San Francisco blew quite a lead to the Dodgers in the National League West. The Tigers blew a big lead to Kansas City, but they picked it back up. I mean, this is the way it works, Randy, and it's why, you know, people. I still hear it from people when I say it's early, 90 games into a season, but it is, and things can move, and things can happen, and things can change awfully quickly, and very rarely does it get late early in a season. Thank you, Randy. Keep those Maritimes strong for us. We appreciate it. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 9-6. The Brewers, Dodgers, or pardon me, Brewers, Giants, and Blue Jays have all blown leads of 6 games or more in their divisions this season. The Blue Jays are the farthest back of those three right now, 3.5 games back, tied with the Yankees, who did beat Cincinnati 3-2 on a walk-off soft pop single by Brian McCann, who obviously did it because he was playing the game the right way. Jay is in Innisfil. Jay, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Well, hey, Mike, I've got 2 questions. One's you'll know the answer, and the other's more of like philosophical, what do you think, essay. So number one, Drew Hutchinson and Marcus Stroman, are they on an inning limit? And if so,
no.
Most likely they're not. Okay, great.
Not.
I was going to say it's so in mid-September.
Yeah, well, no.
Who's next?
Alex Anthopoulos said today that neither of them are on strict innings limits or anything like that. But if they do want to save him here or there, Brandon Morrow might be an option. We don't know what's going to be with him.
That would be great if that happened. But, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath on Morrow. Question number two. What the heck is wrong with Jose Reyes' base running brain? I mean, I've been up north a lot, out of the back country, but trying to follow on MLB.com. I don't know how many times he overran first one game and got caught, and just today the line drive up the middle he got caught, and there were two or three other times I can't remember. And he's getting a lot of outs on the base pass by making unintelligent decisions, and this is not like him. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, my thoughts are I really don't know if it's not like him, because I haven't seen that much of reckless abandon Jose Reyes completely healthy and running on the bases. We didn't see it at all last year, and we've really only seen it since, I would say, mid-May this year. The overrunning first base, I think that was in Tampa, that was just absolutely terrible. He got thrown out earlier on the road trip trying to go first to third on a ground ball, which is something that we've seen him do successfully in the past. So I'm not going to blame him on that one. Today wasn't as bad as it looked on game day. The infield was in. He had a large secondary lead and froze on the line drive instead of coming back and just got beaten back to the bag. I mean, he should have been safe, but that wasn't a huge, nincompoopish error on the base pass by Reyes. But I wonder if this is just a part of Jose Reyes on the bases, that he takes chances and sometimes he makes mistakes. And to be honest, I don't know if he didn't do that his whole career with the Mets.
All right, quick follow-up. Let's say the Blue Jays do end up acquiring a starting pitcher. Would Drew Hutchinson be one of the five starters to move to the bullpen because of his – he seems to be doing a lot better on 6 or 7 days rest, and on 5 days rest he's been kind of 50-50. Would he be the one – if a starter was acquired, do you think,
if
he moved?
I think J-Hap would be the one, but I think it depends on how everybody's going when you make that trade. And, you know, the Blue Jays laid out their rotation to start the All-Star break, and J-Hap is fifth out of the gate. I think he's probably the fifth starter right now and the one who would get replaced if a better starting pitcher came along. That said, I mean, as up and down as he's been in the overall, Hap's having a pretty good year. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much. Just been informed that we are going to Blue Jays talk it up beyond the top of the hour. Roger Lajoie was the official scorer today at the game. So Roger is going to do Sportsnet tonight once we're done. And Roger's not at the radio station yet. So we will keep it a little bit past 5 o'clock today until Roger can make his way through the tough Toronto traffic. And that just means more Blue Jays phone calls. More Blue Jays talk. How awesome is that? Matt is in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks, Mike. I just want to make a comment. The Jays clearly need help coming off the bench. So why not take flyers on Alfonso Soriano and Dan Uggla? Because at the end of the day, that just costs money.
Dan Uggla has been terrible for 3 years. I don't know why anybody thinks that Dan Uggla is an improvement on anything the Blue Jays have. I'll give you Alfonso Soriano, maybe, though he's been so bad this year that he's actually considering retiring. But he did have a nice little second half of the Yankees after they picked him up. I would take a shot at Soriano if he's willing to keep playing. But I don't think Dan Uggla helps his team at all.
Sometimes, I mean, guys just need to change the scenery, and it could be just that simple as that, though.
Yeah, but if you're on a contending team, I'm not giving a roster spot to someone who's having an awful year in the hopes that a change of scenery is going to turn him around. I'd rather, unless there's a glaring, glaring need, and I don't think there's a glaring need to add a guy who's hitting 162 and who hit 179 last year. Juan Francisco certainly hasn't been doing the job at third base, that's for sure. But Dan Uggla, I really don't think is going to do any better, and he can't play third anyway. So, for the 2 weeks till Brett Laurie comes back, I can live with Tolleson and Francisco at third base rather than bringing in a guy like Dan Uggla, who's just been awful.
Fair enough.
Like, legitimately awful.
Well, my second question, I guess, would be, what's your opinion be on the asking price for a Beltre?
Beltre is not available.
Well, what would be the, out of the blue here, of the asking price for someone like him, the caliber of him?
A lot. More than you'd like to give up? A ton. There are no Adrian Beltres who are available in the trade market. There aren't any guys like him. It would be great if Texas would put him up, and I think that he would solve a lot of the Blue Jays' problems if they could acquire him, but Texas simply isn't interested in trading Adrian Beltre. But if there's a player of that caliber who's available out there, you're going to have to give up, your Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris, Dalton Pompey kind of thing. And that's... whatever the Blue Jays wind up trading for a quality major league player is probably going to be a lot more than a lot of the people listening right here are comfortable with dealing. Rob is in Woodbridge. You're next on Blue Jays Talk. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, thanks.
I have a couple questions regarding the trade deadline. I was reading a report the Jays are in the running for, like, Price and Zobrist.
They're in the running for everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, do you think they got a shot, really, with Price? They'll trade him to the AL East?
I think that if the Tampa Bay Rays want to trade David Price, they're going to want to trade him for the best possible return. And I think that it'll probably be a premium if they trade him in the AL East. But I do think they would do it if that was the best package that they were getting back.
Would you give up, like, a Stroman and the two prospects in Buffalo?
Which two prospects in Buffalo?
Like, you got Sanchez, you got Norris, you got a couple guys that aren't really MLB quality players. Like, you got Goins. Would you give up these prospects? What would you give up?
I don't think Tampa would take someone who's not an MLB quality player for David Price. I would not be comfortable trading Stroman and Sanchez pretty much in any deal. Unless you're getting a ton back, because Stroman has basically been the Blue Jays' best pitcher over the last month. So bringing in David Price, sure, he's better than Stroman, but how much better could he be than what Stroman's been and could potentially be? I mean, it's silly to suggest that the trading, that taking Stroman out of the rotation and putting David Price in is a sideways move. It's not. Price is a Cy Young quality pitcher, but you're not upgrading as much as you can if you're taking Stroman out of the rotation to put Price in it.
If we go to the playoffs, though, like, Price starting game one, and then you'll face him twice in a series. That's,
yeah, and you want Stroman starting game two.
Yeah, that's more frightening than having, like, a guy like Stroman. Teams will fear Price, absolutely.
I don't care whether teams fear guys or not, as long as they can get people out, and Stroman's getting people out. I think you have to add to Stroman. I think Stroman is a piece that is sort of integral to the success of this team right now. And so I wouldn't trade him. Nobody's untouchable, whatever. But I wouldn't trade him unless I'm filling a couple of holes. I'm not going to open up a hole to fill another one. Sanchez, Norris, Dalton Pompey, guys like that. You go down a little bit further, a guy like Alberto Tirado. Sure. To get a guy like David Price... absolutely. But I want to keep Stroman here. The music doesn't mean we're finished. It just means we're sort of transmogrifying into Sportsnet tonight. We're going to keep holding on to the ball until Roger Lajoie can fight through the traffic. He was here being the official scorer at the 9-6 win by the Blue Jays over the Texas Rangers. So don't go anywhere. We will continue to take your Blue Jays calls on Sportsnet tonight. Tomorrow, we're back at it as the Boston Red Sox come in for the first of four. Drew Hutchison against John Lackey. We'll talk to you in a minute. It is Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This is Roger Lajoie's show, but I'm Mike Wilner. Roger, trying to get back from the ballpark. So we will continue to take your Blue Jays calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell phone. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Nobody's told me what Roger has planned for this show. I don't know if he's going to continue taking Blue Jays talks, calls, or what, but if somebody tells me, I will pass it along. Instead, look at this.
Ta-da.
Ask and ye shall receive. Ian Leggett is going to be on, the Summit Golf Club Director of Golf and Sportsnet Golf Insider, about the Open Championship, and then Mark Kelso, Bills analyst, is going to be on this hour. John Molinaro, senior soccer reporter from Sportsnet.ca. All of that stuff. So it's a heck of a show Roger has planned for you. But right now, we're going to continue taking your Blue Jays calls until Roger can battle his way through. Tom is in Kitchener listening on 570 News. Tom, welcome to Sportsnet Tonight, Blue Jays Talk Edition.
It's good to be on. I'm glad I got a chance to make it. I didn't think I'd get a chance. I thought you guys would run out of time, but I'm happy to be on.
I'm happy to have you.
We actually spoke last Sunday after the game, and I was asking about the situation, the trade situation. It's funny, your last caller, you mentioned you wouldn't give up Stroman or Sanchez or any of those big farm pieces, and I'm inclined to agree.
I would give up Sanchez.
Oh, you would?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'll retract that then.
Okay.
But we've got, I guess on the trade rumor line, we've got the Jays now speaking with the Padres, or at least it seems to be that way, and they're looking at Chase Headley. If at all, what would you think the Jays would be good to give up in terms to get him?
Not much.
Not much?
Not much. This is a guy who's a pending free agent. There's no draft pick compensation attached to him. He's had two awful years in a row, though has turned it around over his last dozen games. He's hitting .353 with five extra base hits. So, maybe this is a lightning in a bottle thing. This is very, very different from Dan Uggla, because Headley has had superior years in the past, and he's doing really well right now, but he's also got a herniated disc in his back, which scares me a little bit. I would think that the cost to acquire him will be not much at all. Oh, we lost you. I'm not giving up much to bring in Chase Headley. And on that note, that will conclude our Blue Jays talk festivities for the afternoon. The Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 9-6. They are tied with the New York Yankees for second place in the AL East, 3.5 games back of the Baltimore Orioles, who currently trail the Oakland A's 2-0 in the bottom of the third. Oakland is threatening. They've got runners on the corners and one out for Josh Donaldson, so they're looking to add on. And if they do and come up with a win, the Blue Jays will be just 3 games out of first place as the Boston Red Sox come to town. The Red Sox just finished off a 6-0 win over the Kansas City Royals, so Boston comes in on a 4-game winning streak, off a sweep, playing pretty well, but the Blue Jays don't have to face John Lester, at least in the 4-game series, who shut out the Royals today. Roger Lajoie is the host of Sportsnet Tonight, and Roger, we just keep been keeping the seat warm for you, so I'll give you your show back, I guess.